Dredd is Dredd. He's like a more of like a force of nature, taking care of the threats, analyzing what he's got to do, but he doesn't become like a better person because of it.
I liked it when he fucked that judge up and fucking chopped him in the throat and fucking saw the dent in his throat. That shit was awesome.
You just got your social media clip right here.
Hello and welcome to Movie
Hello and welcome to Movie Smash, a show where we dive headfirst into comic book movies. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. If you've been here before, you know the drill. Each episode, we're going to smash a movie whose source materials from a graphic novel or a comic. Is it worth revisiting? Should it be forgotten? Let's find out. This is Movie Smash. I'm one of your hosts, Chris Roberts. I'm the founder of Off Panel Creations. With me today, I have Judge Parmentier.
Hi, this is Jeremy Parmentier, also of the Retrovaniacs podcast, and I'm a newfound slow-mo aficionado.
And tonight with us, we have the host of the Film Fights with Friends podcast. And our first guest this evening is Steve Kepfer. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Hey, how are you, man? I am a podcaster also with my co-host, Paul, who you meet in a minute, and a stunt performer and lifelong martial artist, and I live in New York City.
Also with us is your co-host, Paul Varchi. Thanks for being here tonight, Paul.
Yeah, basically, that's kind of weird, but what Steve said times two. I host a podcast with Steve. Not really a lifelong martial artist, but you know, when I was... I'm 46 now, when I started when I was about 19, but yeah, I'm in stunts. I was a chef for 25 years before I got into TV and film production. And, I love the movie that we're about to talk about.
And our movie tonight is 2012's Dredd, starring Carl Urban and Olivia Thirlby, directed by now this one's interesting. The director name has changed on this movie, depending on who you ask. Now my notes say Pete Travis, but I don't think Carl was saying he is not the actual true director of this movie.
Well, it was written by Alex Garland, right?
It was written by Alex Garland, yeah.
Yeah.
And I believe that he's the one Carl said was the real director behind the scenes.
So I heard. It's kind of like a Tombstone type of thing.
All I saw behind that was Carl was saying that he was the real director because he was mainly in the editing room. Because I guess the actual director was not allowed in the editing room.
That's not good.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that discussion.
Right.
800 million people living in the ruin of the old world. Only one thing fighting for order in the chaos. The men and women of the Hall of Justice.
Peace Trees is the manufacturing base for all the slow-mo in Mega City 1.
You know how often we get a judge up in Peace Trees?
Well, you got one now.
She has control of everything. Levels 1 to 200.
This is Mama. Somewhere in this block are two judges.
That's not good.
I want him dead.
We're gonna have to go through him. Rookie, you ready?
Yeah.
You look ready.
But before we jump into guys, I saw recently the Supergirl trailer. Have you guys seen this?
Have.
Any thoughts?
Many.
I haven't seen it, but I'm kinda done with the superhero
movies. I think it looks like the most pointless fucking superhero movie ever made.
I love the take.
That's what it looks like to me. It looks like, why? That's all I thought. Why?
It looks kind of like a Guardians of the Galaxy.
That would make sense.
James Gunn's not directing, I don't think, is he?
No, but it would still make sense.
Make the boss happy?
You know. Yeah, I don't know. I think the... Just everything about it. I can't, there's no reason I can't get past that. And even when I saw the new suit, like when I saw the new Superman and she was in it, I was like, they're only doing this to make a fucking movie. And then when I saw the trailer, you just get even more upset.
I mean, there is a reason. Dollar signs.
Yeah, not everything needs to be a connected movie, but apparently everyone disagrees. And you'd have to have your own connected universe for every franchise all the time.
Nope. The best Marvel movies were the ones that weren't connected.
And now that we pissed you off, why don't we jump into the movie? So, Paul, you actually picked Dredd for us. Why'd you pick Dredd?
Well, it's one of my kind of favorite movies when it comes to like comic book movies, graphic novels, you know. And I just also love that you can compare it to the first Dredd, you know, the first Judge Dredd movie, even though they're not, one is not a remake of the other. But I do like to compare the two, that one is a Stallone movie and the other one is a Dredd movie. So I love the fact that they made a Dredd movie. And I think I don't know if I would have liked it so much if it wasn't for the Stallone movie, as weird as that makes it sound.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into a little bit later sort of the differences between these two. And I can't agree more. It is, Carl's movie is a Dread movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, we recovered the Stallone movie. And it is its own beast.
It is. Well, but that's what it is. It's a Stallone movie. It's not a Dread movie.
So were you guys familiar with the Dread comic line before seeing the Dread movie?
I was. This was from the 2000 AD, right?
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, I was a little familiar with this.
I was not at all. I hadn't read it and I hadn't seen it. So I am a total virgin dread virgin guy here. So all my impressions are brand new.
But I'm not going to lie. I was familiar because of the cover. I wasn't familiar because I read it. I didn't read it until after I saw the movie.
So I wasn't familiar with the comics much before we covered the Judge Dredd movie with Stallone. And then after that, I ran out and got a trade so I could read the actual source material and say, like, what were they pulling from? Because I wasn't super familiar with the character. So now I'm mildly familiar with the character. I can't say I'm like a pro, but...
I mean, the second they took his helmet off, they weren't pulling from anything.
Right. Exactly. And just like the feel of that first movie, you could tell was like, they took some imagery and then the rest, they just went on the fly to make a fun action movie. And it has nothing really to do with the rest of the world.
Really cool.
Yes. But they didn't cover it nearly enough. That was actually my point when we watched it. I was like, I'd much rather have heard about all the background and nothing about the Stallone Dredd character. Mm-hmm. And instead, you get kind of just like a little flashing here and there. So I'm now slightly familiar with the comic.
But the second I saw the trailer of the first teaser, when it was like Carl Urban, he's like Mega City One, Mega Blocks. I was like, yes.
I mean, I think for years, Paul has been telling me you need to watch Dredd. I've been like, I'll get to it.
I'm glad we forced you.
Yeah. You gave me a reason. I didn't regret.
I'm like, so here, look, I got a little Peachtree's technician patch from one of the janitors in the movie.
That's awesome. That's
and then
awesome.
This one's really cool. So remember when he dropped his flashbang on the stairs? This is it.
That is neat.
The patch, the Peachtree's connections patch is awesome. Like that's the kind of thing, like that would be on coats I wear all the time and everyone be like, what's that from? Like, you'd never know. That's pretty awesome.
Right? I actually have. It's going to go on my Wu-Tang coat.
So, Paul, do you like this movie?
A little bit. Look.
So good.
I mentioned the previous movie when we did Judge Dredd. I was not familiar. I was aware the character existed. Like, Paul, I'd seen the covers and that kind of thing. So, it's in the zeitgeist. But I'd never read the comic at all. So, when I saw the original Judge Dredd, I was like, is this it? Is this what has been existing for the past 30-odd years or whatever it was at that point? But no, you go look it up and it's nothing like that at all.
I almost feel like it's funny. I always say that Stallone's Judge Dredd was the sequel if Dennis Leary's people took over in Demolition Man.
So I know Paul, and I know for myself, this was not our first viewing of it, but Steve and Jeremy, was this your first time you saw this movie?
100%. It was my first time. Definitely. It was great. I loved it. I mean, we'll get into it, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I also hadn't seen it before because the Stallone version was not my thing. So then I thought this was like another similar movie. So I didn't rush out to see it. Very excited to see it this time.
I would say that is probably true because I didn't really dig the Stallone one way back in the day. And that probably kept me from seeing this one as long as it did.
And just for our listeners, yes, I own the steelbook of this. So I've seen it a few times.
I own the steelbook and I have it on Amazon in my digital library, so I can watch whenever, wherever.
Same here. So if this is your first time joining us, just a quick heads up. We're going to be assessing certain elements of the story that we consider spoilers about this documentary about Detroit. So consider yourself warned. So Paul or Steve, whichever one wants to, do you want to give it the quick setup of the movie?
Sure.
Yeah, go for it, Paul.
So basically, obviously we have Judge Dredd, right? Works for the Hall of Justice. He's with another judge, a trainee, who is a psychic, and they're going into one of the most notoriously bad mega blocks, which is a building that's like 200 stories high and the size of, as long, as wide as a city block. So they're huge. And they basically have to work their way up to deal with triple murder. And they get locked in the building when they apprehend one of the goons supposedly responsible for this triple murder, and their leader does not want them taken alive because they will talk when the judges get to them.
That's it, man.
There's not many characters in the movie. There's a lot of people who die in this movie, but there's not many characters in it. So why don't we sort of touch on a couple? Let's just, first off, you're going to start with Dredd. How did Carl do?
I mean, I love him in pretty much everything he's in. So I thought it was great. I mean, just to kind of piggyback on what Paul said, the story, like having never seen it before, to me, what I loved about it, the sort of simplicity of the story was it's basically this, you know, senior cop, rookie cop stuck in a building. I mean, we've seen this kind of storyline before, but it was kind of like, if I've been telling people after I've seen it, I'm like, well, it's kind of like Colors with Robert Duvall and Sean Penn meets Game of Thrones, Game of Death, you know, it's or meets The Raid or something like that.
I was like, when I saw The universe. Raid, I was like, this is Dread.
Well, didn't they both come out around the same time?
I think The Raid was a little after. But what's really funny is if you know, they do almost have also, this is what I was going to say before, is the poster work is actually very similar. If you look at the one of the mega block and then the one of him looking up at the building of The Raid, they're actually quite similar.
But Carl Urban was great. He was awesome. I mean, I did need wonder, like, is that permafrown that he wears throughout the whole thing, is that like reflected in the comic book? Because it was the annoying thing.
And he never took his helmet off in the comics. So the one time in the comics, at least when I was still reading, the only time he took his helmet off, his face was actually so fucked up, they blacked it out. So when they took it off, it was censored. So you still only got to see what you normally see. So it was hilarious.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was great that he never took his helmet off through the whole movie.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. It's like the fact that the lead actor did not remove his helmet, unlike, you know, the Stallone one, that it was true to the comic. And that frown, that's his frown. He's always got that in the comics.
Well, it was the posing, right? He's able to emote by his the way he would move his body because he wasn't taking the helmet off, and he didn't really change his expression too often. But even when they have the scene where he gets hurt and he's doing the self-healing and everything else, they had a chance to have him take his helmet off and have that moment, and they didn't. They're like, no, it's Judge Dredd. He doesn't take his helmet off. He'll take his shirt off. Who cares? That doesn't matter. It's just long enough to get it fixed. Then he puts it right back on. It wasn't like gratuitous chest shots either. It was. I loved that scene because it wasn't what you know Stallone would have done.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they avoided all the kind of easy tropes. You know, there was no romance story. They didn't show the actor's face. And they just stuck with the basic premise of these two cops stuck in a building with tons of people wanting to kill them and just made it wonderful. It was just great. Simple and to the point.
Yeah, one thing I loved about it, too, is that in most movies, obviously, the main character has to go through sort of like a character arc. Dredd does not. Dredd is Dredd. He's like more of like a force of nature. Goes from room to room, taking care of the threats, analyzing what he's got to do. But he doesn't become like a better person because
he's fucking RoboCop.
Yeah, he's a professional. Now that arc is what you have his partner for, right? If you want that kind of for what this movie offers as a character arc, you know, Judge Anderson, who's the psychic, that's kind of a new recruit. This is her mission to see if she's going to make it as a judge. He gets to decide. You know, are you judge worthy or not? She has that kind of like, she hardens up. She shows if she could be, you know, a judge or not, right? And she even says like, I'm going to fail this. Like, you're not going to give me this later on in the movie after she's actually done some things. So she has that arc, but he doesn't need an arc. He is professional judge.
And she also has her own comics off of this as well after the movie. So she has her own comics that have now come from off of the movie as well, which also I think is really cool because the 2000 AD series has basically taken the movie as canon and now just put it into the story and now just branched off from it, which is really cool because that was the first time they'd ever done that.
I do like how Dredd, Jeremy mentioned how she's being trained at this point. But the point I want to bring up with Dredd is that even when everything hits the fan.
Well, she already failed her training, actually.
Yeah.
Well, a base training. I'm saying like the part where he's like, and this is his time to call if she can be a judge or not. But I like when everything hits the fan, he's still like, no, we're still evaluating you. I'm not changing gears. Like, I'm not taking over. You just got to make all the calls.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They're in the middle of a shitstorm. And he's like, you're under evaluation. What are you going to do? You know,
it's kind of like this happens every day. So if you can't handle this, you can't handle tomorrow. What did he say? Only was it 1 out of 5 don't survive day one?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So Olivia plays Judge Anderson, trainee Judge Anderson, I guess. How do you feel about her character, you know, being a psychic and sort of her role she played?
I loved her. I thought she was great. It's like Jeremy said, you do get to dig into her character, her story a lot more. And I thought she was wonderful. I mean, even especially the scenes, you know, where she's inside Kay's head. Those are some of my favorite scenes when she's inside. They're having this sort of psychic battle of I'm in your head, you're in my head. Yeah, I thought she was fantastic.
I kind of thought it was also just brilliant. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but that they decided to pick from the comics and use a judge that had a reason to not have her helmet on to not make you wonder why Dredd didn't take his helmet off. Right from the get-go, where's your helmet? I don't put it on. It messes with my psychic abilities. Well, I feel like a bullet would too, right? Greatest line ever. But that sets up the entire movie of why you can see her face and not his. And I don't know if they did that on purpose, but I don't know how well the movie would have worked if there was another judge in there through this movie the whole time, keeping her helmet on or whatever. I just don't know how it worked. So I thought that even the comic choice was brilliant to make a movie off of.
Yeah, can we have the bad judges later on that don't take their helmets off as well? But I think it really was meant to help humanize the judges a little bit, at least the good judges, air quotes around that. But I think you're right. I think it's important that she did not have her helmet on. Like that, the fact that also they sort of pointed that out very early on, that with the Judge Dredd line, essentially, like, I think a bullet would mess that up too. I do like, by the way, speaking of his humor, I laughed so many times in this movie just from the things Dredd would say.
They were very deadpan, right? They weren't so deadpan. They weren't that, like, he didn't pause for an effect or anything. It wasn't like when all those lines that would have been said similarly in the Stallone version of Dredd had like that comedic pause, or you had Rob Schneider or whoever they're like to feed off of, right? So in this, is he's just saying these like deadpan lines while things are going on. It was good. He was great.
Like when he's like, "You ready? You don't look it."
That's just very matter of fact.
I do like the fact he does say the line, "I am the law."
But he says it one time.
On the right on the mic, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And I like that when he says it to the entire mega block. He wasn't in a room one-on-one to her, the entire mega block he says it to. It was great.
Back to Olivia, I do like that her psychic powers also are fairly limited. She can, if someone's there, she can kind of tell if they're lying or not, and she can read thoughts if she, I think, I don't know if she has to touch them or something, but it's not, hey, I'm thinking, I know where they are in this house, right? So it's not like she's a radar and all these other things. It's a very limited psychic power. So it made her interesting without making it where she's clearly driving the plot forward because she knows where everything is. And, you know, so she's not a superhero. She just has this kind of, not even empathy, but it's a very direct mind reading power. You have to be right there, and it's only usable certain times, and people can, as she found out, can kind of fight her in it. It's not automatic. So I did like that a lot. It's hard to make psychic powers work where it's not, you know, Dark Phoenix.
She can, it's almost like she can kind of see what's in there, and she can control her part, but she can't control their part. But she's smart enough to know that she's safe because it's her power. Because he was like, that's why he was like, nah, if I wanted to freak you out, I'd be thinking about this. So he has control. She doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But I loved how also just they reinforced the fact that this, that her presence there was sort of a new thing. Like Dredd, even like Dredd, like, you know, not knowing like, oh yeah, I can use you to get this information. I don't have to torture this guy or do whatever I'm going to do to get the information. She's like, oh, I can get that for you. You know?
Well, even when he's like, oh, I thought all you mutants were all like fucking, we're all fucked up. And
I also love that the fact that they didn't really harp on the mutant thing, that it was just stated as a fact in this world. Oh yeah, she's a mutant. Like they didn't really dive deep into it. It was just a matter of fact thing that mutants exist. We don't have to explain anything more about it.
I was actually pretty curious about the whole psychic thing, because obviously it was not in the Stallone version of the movie at all. From what I understand is that, yeah, mutants obviously are a thing in the Judge Dredd universe, 2008, but there are actual psychic judges.
Well, they had the radioactive guy. They had the fucking mutant dude with the fucked up arm and the clock.
That's true. But I always thought that was like a wasteland thing.
Yeah.
But the fact they said that she lived, what, 100 feet from the wall or something. That's why she got, no, her parents all died from cancer, but she gets to be psychic. Now, our villain was it Mama?
Yeah, Mama.
What'd you think of that role?
She was awesome.
She's a good villain in general. She's very good at it. She makes you, you know, absolutely hate her. And that's a skill. And she's very good at it.
I mean, please.
I mean, Game of Thrones, Cersei, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I was going to say Cersei Lannister. Like, she's the expert at being the bad, the villain.
She plays a sort of a very tough as nails femme fatale, even though at this role, she's not really a femme fatale. She's just a psycho. A very sort of, not just psycho. I'd say she plans a lot, but I think she's very sort of disconnected from the violence about what she's doing. I'm just thinking like early on when like they had the three guys who, for whatever reason, they decided to skin them and throw them off the edge of the building.
Right. That,
she's like, yeah, give them the drug. Like, whatever. Like, it's like another day for me.
Yeah. I mean, but everybody's just kind of it's not like Dredd is trying to be nonviolent. I mean, this is just the world they live in. It's just a violent world. Like, nobody seems to really be trying to make it unviolent, except maybe the people who live in the block, you know?
Well, I mean, the judges or judge, jury, and executioner right on the spot. They arrest you, they try you, they kill you.
The only one that cares is Anderson.
You know, he does care, though. Judge Dredd is not killing innocents. He's not running around just shooting everybody. You have to come at him first. You have to have attempted to kill a judge. Then, bam, it's instant death. That's your sentence.
For sure.
But like when they're trying to, when they're hiding, when they see the guys coming down the hallway and they go into the apartment and she uses her abilities to kind of get in. And then he doesn't immediately just shoot this woman because it would keep her quiet or whatever else. He lets Anderson kind of do her thing, sort of. He don't think he's realizing what's going on, but she does her thing and realizes like we can trust this person as long as we immediately leave, right? She's going to give us some help. She just wants to her left alone because she has a baby here.
Well, and that's how she learned, right, that the woman's husband was out there.
The guy that she previously just killed.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was that, like, that's, he's not out just shooting everybody. In fact, in the beginning, when he's chasing the original car that he's chasing at the start of the movie, he's not shooting into traffic. He's trying not to use any weapons until they fired him first. And he's like, all right, now they have to go down. And he starts firing
at them. Well, actually, he hit the guy with the car.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Once he killed somebody. You're right. Not when they were firing at him. Once he killed somebody, he's like, that's it. And then he doesn't even shoot at them. He shoots at the tires. And he makes sure that he's not shooting randomly into, you know, people driving around. Also, that whole scene I really liked.
Also, when this was in the theater, because we just started talking about the slow-mo, this was 3D, by the way. So all that slow-mo stuff is all 3D. So you had that glasses on when the guy was going over the edge, when all that fairy dust flying in the air, that was all with 3D glasses on. The shit looked awesome.
Yeah, it must have been a different experience because Paul knows that I have a pet peeve, like pretty much hate, like overuse of slow-mo. And I'm like watching this movie and I'm like, wait a minute, talk about who directed this. Was it like Zack Snyder sneak in the room there? And like, is he doing that? He's the one they let in the editing, right? But the slow-mo worked because the drug is called slow-mo, you know? I still could have done with less slow-mo though, but.
I would also bet some of the blood effects look pretty goofy, like when it's slowed down. But I think with the 3D piece of it, maybe that makes it look better. Because otherwise I was kind of like, it looks like there's a different layer that this blood is on, which makes sense. If you have that 3D there, that would make more sense. Because that was the only thing, like when I was talking to Chris about it previously, and he's like, yeah, this is like a considered fairly low budget. And I was like, the only thing that really looks bad is some of the blood. Everything else, it looks really good. I was, you know, this is not a low budget movie to me. But the blood, knowing that that's 3D, that does explain some of the things I saw. And I was like, that's weird looking.
No, it looked great. I mean, the universe, the way they built it out looked phenomenal, especially when you consider this is like 2012, right? So they didn't have the VFX that they have today. So it was really looked very high budget, you know?
Yeah, we'll get into effects in a little bit too. But yeah, if you have the DVD, there's like all these behind the scenes stuff on how they did the VFX work. And it really was just layering on existing actual shots. And one of the cool things was they actually built a corner of the megastructure from the inside. So it's the same four floors on everything, but they would just rearrange all the back rooms for when they had the shots inside those rooms and then just layer those out. But those are the three main characters, but are there any other characters that stood out to you guys?
Well, I guess Kay would be, right? Kay is the captive that they held hostage for quite a while.
I like Kay also because that guy's in everything. I feel like he's been in movies since the 80s and he hasn't aged a day.
I mean, he was just in one battle after another. I mean, he's in all the Creeds, you know, Ant-Man. He's been in the new Blade Runner. He's always working, that guy. That guy's always working. But his character was great, which brings me back to that little, you know, psychic battle thing that they had going on. Like you said, if I was trying to freak you out, this is what I would think of, you know. He was great.
Yeah, it was interesting watching him sort of figure out the rules around her psychic powers. Because at first, I think he was a little disturbed.
Well, and I loved what's his face from Star Wars, kid with the eyes.
Yeah, the guy that was the computer expert. I don't know the character's name, but yes.
Yeah, the tech
general
nerd
in Star
guy.
Wars now, right?
Yes, he was in.
He's in the Mando series, in the Ahsoka series.
Not sure. But to your point, Chris, yeah, it would disturb somebody. It would disturb anybody to have somebody all of a sudden in your head, right, like that.
No, I did like the sort of the tech guy. It was interesting watching. Like, I didn't make the connection until the end of the movie, obviously, that they're showing like the montage of how bad Mama was. And there's like a person where she's like poking the eyes out of the guy. And he realized at the end, that's him. No, yes. He works for her, but he does not want to work for her. And she just likes to torture this guy. Like, there's scenes where like, she's dragging a blade across him. And it's like, why does she do this to him?
Dude, the scene when he's like, my boss is breathing down my neck here was hilarious.
Yeah, because she really was.
And also, like, these megastructures having that, was it the war protocol? Or it's just sort of like, one, who are they fighting?
Like blast doors, right? These giant blast doors come down.
Nuclear blast doors. Like, that's what they were. Yeah, that was crazy.
Well, that was, like, I guess, preparation for future incidents of what must have happened in the past, right? So they were just preparing.
Well, I know there was a comic run where the Soviets re-nuked the megacities.
But that's what it was. It was all left over from nuclear holocaust. That's what the dread world is.
It reminded me of Silo, the TV show Silo, except the opposite, right? Silo, they're all underground, and this one, they're just all above ground.
I am enjoying that show.
But yeah, that's a great one. But I imagine they shoot it the same way. They probably have a few floors built on the set, and they just repurpose it.
Well, I liked at the beginning when you get to see Mega City, and they kind of zoom back, and you get to see all these mega structures in with, like, laying over what appears to be LA or whatever the city they're over. And I thought that was really cool. Like, normally, like, even in the first Judge Dredd movie, it looked more like this futuristic cyberpunk sort of movie or city where, you know, like, it's dirty and whatever, but it still looked very futuristic. This looks like, yeah, no, there's futuristic things on top of the city you kind of recognize. And there's cars, there's school buses, there's things that you recognize while it's still supposed to be futuristic. Because, again, I don't know what year this takes place in general, but if you would have told me in, you know, 1980, this took place in 2050, I would say, oh, they're all going to have flying cars and there's all this other stuff. But now if you told me it's in 2050, I'm like, yeah, it's going to look just like now. But there'll be a few more things that look neat. Like, it's not a drastic difference. So I did like just the way that the entire city looks and the fact that it's not this super cyberpunk Blade Runner style city this time.
Well, they also made the Lawgiver awesome. Like, they didn't do the Lawgiver right. And I mean, the Lawgiver is a character in itself, right? And they didn't use it at all in the Stallone movie. Like, I can't remember that gun being what it really was to all the, you know, the judges. And they really, really made that thing awesome.
And the fact he actually ran out of ammo.
Mm-hmm. And it
for the different types.
But it still had all the different bullets.
Yeah, that's what I liked cool. When he's like, I want to use this, and zero, this, zero, this, zero. And then finally one that, like, the super explosive or whatever works. It was like, all right.
Incendiary one.
Oh, that was rad.
That scene
was great.
That scene was incredible.
Jeremy, to circle back, though, you were talking about the city layout. That they actually, it's just, they were filming Johannesburg in South Africa and just laid on top of that the megastructures, but the other buildings are all actually there. Because that city was famous for its, like, I think it's like 70s brutal architecture, the very sort of straightforward look to it, which is great because, as you know, Jeremy, from our most recent episode, South Africa is our fifth most listening country.
That's true. Now, this will be one more to add into it, so they can be very excited. We talked about a movie that was filmed there.
But yeah, all the, like, non-megastructure buildings are the actual buildings there. They just laid on top of them the mega highways and the megastructures and, you know, the drones flying in the air.
That's cool. That's why there were so many, like, on the stunt team, when I was looking up the stunt team, so many people, like, from, was it District, what's it? That's a movie, District 9, and, like, a lot of the teams were the same people that worked on that stuff.
It was considered a low-budget movie for its time. It's $50 million. Didn't quite make it back.
Which is crazy, because now everybody wants a sequel to it.
Well, maybe we can get Alex Garland to write a new one. I mean, he does come back. He came back to...
I heard they were, like, close to an animated sequel.
But we'll get into that in a bit. So why don't you jump into actual scenes that happen into it. Jeremy, you mentioned the opening sequence, which opening sequences are always really good to sort of establish the rules of the show, the tone of the movie. What did you think of that opening sequence?
I loved it because it was pretty much him doing his regular job. It showed that he wasn't just running around shooting everything, and it was, you know, he was deliberate with what he was doing. The judge, you know, Judge Dredd's definitely out there doing what he's supposed to be doing. And then once they kill the guy, which I also was shocked, I had, like, when they hit the guy with the car, I was like, oh, okay, that's the kind of movie this is going to be. And then immediately he's like, all right, now I'm going to take him down. And even when they then go into the building, when the one guy escapes and runs the building, and it's just then from there it becomes super violent again. I was like, okay, this is going to be more like the comic and more what I was kind of hoping for. Not a tongue-in-cheek, you know, superhero action movie. This is a Judge Dredd movie. Let's see what they do with it. So I loved the intro to this.
The opening scene was probably, with the exception of maybe the incendiary scene, this is probably the biggest stunt set piece of the movie, I would bet. You know, like, they probably had so much to do getting that scene done with the car chase and the motorcycles and the car hit, which was amazing, by the way. It was such a good car hit. and the crash and everything, it was probably the most stunty thing. And like you said, Jeremy, it was, even for someone who had never seen it before, it's like, oh, there's gonna be a lot of action in this movie. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, nope, now we're going back to pretty much straight drama, shoot 'em up stuff.
It was great. I also liked it when the door dropped on the homeless guy.
Yeah, that was a, yet again, a dry comedy.
You mean he's the unlegged, now.
Legged.
Yeah, his torso on one side, his legs on the other side. It was crazy. It was good.
So you talked to her about Anderson, about her role. And I think, Paul, you were saying about how, you know, she was almost kicked out. See, maybe you talked about how she was almost kicked out of the judges. So we're introduced to her. And what I liked about this was that often you hear about like the trope of the new rookie is always really good. They're exceptional. They're bringing him on. She was not good at her job. I really enjoyed that they set her up to basically be, she will fail this.
Yeah. And Dredd almost seemed annoyed that he had to take her on under his wing. He's like, she failed. Why are we even having this discussion?
And he pretty much was walking into it like she was going to fail again.
I think everyone involved in that moment was saying, like, we're just doing this to go through the formality of it. But somebody really wanted her on the force.
But like, she could, again, do what she did.
These abilities are going to make her more useful. But let's see if she can even do the basics of the job before we even worry about any bonuses we'll get from this.
And of course, the arc ends with her passing, but quitting. So it's great.
Well, I don't think she quits. I think she just assumes she fails.
I thought she was like handing in her badge kind of thing.
Well, like, it was the end of the test. She lost. And then she's like, later on, they find out she's walking off on to go on her patrol or whatever.
Yeah. She's got a helmet and everything in the silhouette.
Yeah. She's in two other comics too after this that follow after the series, I believe.
But after this scene, this is where we're introduced to Mama for the first time. We get to hear about her. And she's taking care of. Now, what was the crime these three guys did to her? Do you guys pick that up?
Ellen Jugs on her turf.
Yeah, it was a turf war thing, right?
Yeah, they kind of summarized it later. There were four gangs in this one building, and she's slowly, like, you could saw her influence or whatever filling up the whole building until she was the one who controlled the whole thing. So it's a gang war, drug war.
I like the fact that the computers, like the images they were using, felt very like retro futuristic. Now, it wasn't like these high end, you know, special effects. It looked like it could have been made by, you know, the Star Wars crew back in the 70s and 80s.
They were still using my old IBM green machine.
I did it shows the HUD of the drone overlooking the city, and it looks straight out of like a DVD from the 90s menu options. Mama, she has them flayed and then thrown off into the center of the megastructure. That's where we get our first slow-mo.
Well, no, we get to see it in the car chase in the beginning. We see the slow-mo there.
And then he snapped out of it when he's like, we've got a judge behind us.
Well, that's right. That's right.
And then you see her using it. When they introduce her as well, she's in the bathtub using it.
And that's the thing. Like, how do you snap out of? He's in the middle of a drug induced high. How does he snap out of it all of a sudden?
Like somebody says, "Hey,"
I know, but that just makes no sense, right?
I don't know if they didn't. I mean, they might have explained slow mos.
I mean, if you've ever seen anyone do the junkie tai chi, you know a simple "Hey" does not get them out of it.
But it seemed like it was a very fast acting, but also very short lasting. High, like nitrous or something. Where
I was going to say it's like nitrous at a dead show.
So we get them what? They get thrown off in the building. They get splattered on the floor around them. And then that's when we get that's when we find out about this happening. And it's funny how we find out that all these crimes happen every single day and there's only so many judges to go around.
Yeah, I mean, just to get back for your slow-mo going over the edge, over the balcony for a minute, I was debating with myself whether or not that was actually being kind to them or being torturous to them. Like if I knew I was gonna die right now, like, so, and then getting a dose of slow-mo, is that just prolonging it for me? Like, is it making it worse?
The point of it was they did it before she skinned him.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but it expanded the whole, I don't know, part of me felt like it was actually a kindness. I actually kind of was like, are they doing him a kindness or are they?
No, I don't think they are.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it's before they flay them, that's worse because then it's slow and they're going to experience every single fraction of a second. And even when you fall, like if you think about it, if you're falling off a building, most of the time when you fall from a large height, you die of a heart attack before you hit the ground or like you're not conscious and awake the whole time. They are. They're conscious and awake and they're just watching themselves fall slowly. However many floors, 47 or whatever floor they were on. They weren't at the top. They were somewhere near the bottom. But still, that's not letting them die the way they normally die. Instead, they're experiencing every second of their guaranteed death. I think that's way worse. I think it's much worse.
Yeah, right. Like, Mama was like a mile and a half up.
Yeah, she was on the top floor. She was like,
yeah, she was way up there.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a extension of the torture. I don't think they were doing him service at all.
I don't know. There's something about that scene, like when he asked her, can I give him a dose? And then she thought about it and she was like, yeah, okay. Like it almost made me feel like that guy was caring about him.
No, I think it was because he wanted to slow it down and make it worse for them.
Yeah. It's this person's movie with a spoon. It's the same idea.
I was surprised that Mama takes her own drugs. I thought that was like rule one of being a drug dealer. Don't use your own stuff.
I mean, professional drug dealers. This is a gang leader who's made this themselves. This is their own drug. So maybe there's like safe uses of it. I don't know. Look, she's crazy. It's okay to use your own stuff.
And she's not the one dealing it. She's just kind of overseeing everything, right?
She's upper management.
She's dealing it, but she's creating it and selling it to whoever.
She's a CEO.
The gang sell it. Yeah, she's, yeah, exactly.
So we get a bunch of fight scenes in this movie. I mean, this movie is like just one fight scene right after the other. What was one of your guys' favorite scenes?
Well, I would say there's a lot of shootouts and a lot of tactical stuff. Gunfight scenes, but not actual fight scenes. There was one fight scene with Dredd, which was...
I liked it when he fucked that judge up, fucking chopped him in the throat, and fucking you saw the dent in his throat. That shit was awesome.
I mean, that fight scene, though, it was quick. It was not a big fight scene. That was a blip.
No, that's why I liked it, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, that's a nice fight scene. But it's really, this movie's about the gunplay, about the tactical stuff. And it was great. It was really good.
Okay, so which one was your favorite gunfight scene?
Well, probably, I don't know. Every 2 seconds, somebody's getting shot. But it's like basically the incendiary one was my favorite.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was just, and that was probably, based on the time, that was probably legitimately a dozen or however many fire burns they had going on, like all those guys on fire. That was probably all practical, which is just like insane.
I liked the first room they go into with the two young kids that just go in there that buy the drugs. And, you know, and I feel like they went out of their way, but they're like, we're going to make these kids look fucking young. And then they just go in there, they take their hits, they're all fucked up. And then they come in and they start fucking shooting. And then it's kind of a bit of a slow motion shootout. And the kids are trying to, one kid takes a bullet in the fucking cheek.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff was insane. That was like the
that whole shootout was fucking
that
awesome.
Was like the bizarro world
back and forth.
Yeah.
The judges saw it regular and then the addicts saw it slow. So I love the jumps.
It was like the bizarro world Matrix where everything's going in slow-mo, but every bullet's hitting. It's like nobody's missing, right? It was so awesome. I mean, that was pretty cool. Like watching the bullet hits in slow-mo for sure.
I also liked when they used the stun grenade and then took everyone out down except for the one guy who the Anderson had to take out. I thought that was a good scene because it was just like, yeah, I don't know what are you guys going to do? And he's like this. And it's just a very no-nonsense. And they just keep going with it. But you still have that moment where Anderson had to realize is she going to be able to do this or not? And then to have that also tie back to the later scene where it turns out it's, you know, the woman's husband that they go into her house. Like all that was really cool. But the incendiary scene is hard to top. Like that was, like as that happened, I was like, this is awesome. This is the coolest thing that I could have expected to see in this movie. Because again, it's another section where you're like, oh man, what's he going to do? And you're like, oh no, the most badass thing you could possibly imagine.
That stun grenade scene, I did like the fact that Judge Dredd gave him a 20-second warning. And the guys come back with an answer of like, we're going to attack you in 5 seconds.
He said, thanks for the warning.
Now, the scene that people talk about the most actually is that minigun scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I just remember thinking like they would all be dead. Like they would all be dead. Like nobody would have survived that just by like, I mean, nobody even got shot like running around in there and ducking behind this and that. Like they all would have been shredded. I mean, it was so cool, but that's a suspend your disbelief moment, you know?
Because was it 3 miniguns firing across the expanse of the megastructure?
Yeah, yeah, that was insane. Like, I mean, it was great how they tore
with
apart
the
building.
Tracer rounds.
Yeah, yeah, with tracer rounds, but not even got nicked. None of our heroes got nicked at
None
least
of our
once.
Heroes. A lot of other people died.
I would have liked to have seen like one of our heroes get nicked.
Shot a lot of our own people too.
This is true.
Speaking of a lot of people, this movie officially had, was it 101 for the body count?
Well, that tracks.
That seems less than I expected. I thought it would be a higher number than that.
Is Hard Boiled still one of the highest?
Which one?
Hard Boiled, John Woo. I think that still had one of the highest body counts. If you're not counting like Saving Private Ryan and shit like that.
Actually, the slow-mo gunfight was definitely a little homage to John Woo. I didn't even think of that.
How many of that 101 do you think come from Judge Dredd?
Not many. I don't think so.
Except like when he would go in and just, again, like the stun section. When he does shoot people out, it's like bam, 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 and they all go down. I would bet 30 to 40 are Judge Dredd.
Yeah, I was thinking like 10 people fire burn, give or take, and then
when he goes up that stairs and drops that flash bomb, he takes out at least fucking 6 guys. Next room.
I think when I looked it up, it's like 42. We're all from just Judge Dredd, not Anderson, not included.
I was close.
That's great.
Anderson, I think, took out 2. I think
he
took
out 2. Mama probably killed fucking 30 herself.
Yeah.
Well, there's a website you go to like for body counts, and the section of the minigun scene is just like this number to this number. Like, now, what about the fact that they brought in the bad judges? Were you expecting that?
No.
Once she said call the police, I was like, okay, they're gonna have some. Either they have people already on the inside that they've been working with, or there's just, you know, criminal judges, which is also a theme in this series where there are some judges that are not as up as Judge Dredd. So I was not overly surprised, although I think those were also some of the better like one-on-one like gunfights in the movie. I
also like that it showed that there's also a hierarchy of judges because they pushed off other judges that were already there. Like, we got this. Get the fuck out of here.
In what rookie senior cop drama do we not have corrupt cops screwing everything up? I mean, that is just, that's in every version of the story we've ever seen.
Almost required.
Yeah.
And they were cool. Like, even the woman, I like how that they had like a cold-blooded woman too, who was just like, she hesitates, I shoot her. You know? It was just great.
And with the four of them, there was no real sort of like, these three are darker than this other one. They're all like, they're all on the same page. They're all like, we are corrupt and we're doing this for a million credits.
Yeah, it was for the money. It's for the money. And they, not that they're big fans of Dredd anyway, right? It's not like they were like, oh, we wouldn't kill another judge. But also specifically, no, Judge Dredd is like, one, too much of a, I don't say goody two shoes. That's not the right term, but he's like
a cowboy.
Yeah, he's clearly the one that they don't like because he thinks he's better than all the other judges, right?
But that's also why that he was like, do you know who this judge is? Well, I do. $1 million. He's like, you don't know who you're fucking with. I know who you're fucking with. If you want me to come in and take care of this guy, it's going to cost you a shitload of fucking money because this guy is the man.
And they almost did. They almost did take him out. If they didn't, you know, obviously they cause a mistake that, you know, would otherwise, they would have been able to just shoot him in the head and call it a day. But instead it was like, no, I'm going to talk and mock you for asking to wait a second. And
always, you would have done it. I love that scene too.
Oh, it's so like, good.
Wait.
It's hilarious. And was it the other judge? Was his name Lex? And he's like, yeah, like, I'm so surprised you'd want me to wait. Do you want to plead for your life?
He's like, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to savor the fact that he bested the great Judge Dredd.
He's like, big bad Judge Dredd takes his last bullet, says, wait. So disappointed.
And even in that moment, still does not take his helmet off. Stallone would have.
Mm-hmm.
But then we go from here, and we're at the final scene. I guess one of the final scenes where they're sort of just clearing rooms to get the mama.
It's tough because the entire movie was the third act. So it's kind of hard because the whole thing is really kind of building to a climax, and I almost feel like it's fucking fapping.
That's a first for Movie Smash.
Oh, there we go. You just got your social media clip right here. Oh my God.
God. So, but dude, I really did feel like the entire movie was just the third act just waiting to fucking finish.
Yeah. And you know, I think the judges were really the peak of the climax. And then the end is just a resolution, right? Mm-hmm. Him taking out Mama is not, it's not that he's like, oh, I'm going to get outgunned or whatever. She has a plan, but is he going to fall for it or not? Or, you know, believe her or not? Is she even correct? Is she even sure what she's doing? But the judges were the hurdle. And once that's over, then, you know, once they've taken all four judges, then it's just Judge Dredd and Anderson just cleaning out the rest of the rooms, like finishing up the job. They've done the hard.
Yeah, I didn't feel unresolved at all. I mean, you know, I thought it was tied up in a nice bow at the end. Didn't bother me at all. Yeah.
You know, I also kind of like how they didn't give the ending to Anderson by pulling some weird fucking psychic mindfuck. I like that it was just Dredd was like, you have a fucking, you have a thing set to your heart. I wonder how fucking far it'll reach.
Yeah, that was great. How's it going to get through all these layers of steel and concrete, you know?
Like, it was just so fucking Dredd, the way that he killed her and his reasoning. Like, you almost think that they're going to, that the movie could have gone on for another fucking 20 minutes because she's like, I'm not dead yet. And he's like,
no, you are.
And I like how he's not even 100% sure the plan is going to work. He said, I can't imagine it reached that far.
Yeah, it was a gamble.
And then I love how he hits her with the slow-mo too.
Yes.
And she just kind of like when blows it in his face. I also love that. I loved her fuck you to him.
Yeah, she has no arc of redemption. She's not, there's nothing good there, and that's fine. That's what she's good at. Making a character where you're like, you really are just straight evil, and she is. Mm-hmm.
So this movie is what, 95 minutes long? Did you want more Dredd?
Oh, I still do.
I mean, the pacing was great. I didn't feel like it was too long. I didn't feel like I wanted more at the end of that. I thought it was great. I thought it was good pacing.
Yeah, I think this story was done. I didn't need it to be longer, but I would also love to see more of this Dredd, this character, this universe, really. Mm-hmm. I like what you see, and even in the Stallone version, I like some of the world, right? So I'd like to see all that with this Dredd instead, some of more of the wasteland.
So do you guys think the effects hold up? I mean, this movie is now, no, it's getting up there in age. It's about a decade old. Do the effects hold up for it?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man.
I think just like, you know, they were mentioning before, I think everything that was practical held up. Anything that they tried to do for the 3D purposes, you can be like, why the fuck does this look so? But then you're like, because they layered it for fucking 3D. I get it now. Like the fucking axe and Drive Angry.
I was going to say like Drive Angry. Yeah.
But they came out around the same time.
Well, that was that period, right? Where
it was 3D the period of the 3D fucking, you know.
3D and slow-mo. Like this is the era of everything being slow as well, right? Having these slow action scenes, which at least they this time it's got a story reason for it, right? It all makes sense because there is a drug that does it. You're seeing it through how they're feeling it. But knowing that I didn't know it was 3D at the time, that also makes a huge difference in how I think that would have looked and probably much cooler. But yeah, that's the blood was the one thing. When I saw blood that was clearly like on a different layer, and it just looked bizarre compared to everything else in the parts. And that's because, one, it was for the 3D, but also it's not, the practical effects really do look good. In a lot of these movies we watch, the older the movie, the practical effects always kind of stand out as like, yeah, this looks really good still, as opposed to having everything be CG. And this is right on that line where, you know, they were doing fine CG in 2012, I suppose, but, you know, that's not where their budget went, and that's good.
It's also great that, you know, when you brought up Carl Urban before, to have an actor that's okay with keeping his... Because just like before, you're like, Stallone would have taken it off. And he's the type of guy who would have been like, listen, either my mask comes off or I don't do this fucking film.
And he would have had a love subplot. He would have had a love subplot with Anderson. It would have guaranteed happened. Even if it wasn't like super in depth, there would have been there. And there wasn't for this. This is just like, no, she's just a judge. And I'm here to determine if she's a judge or not. The end.
It's amazing how that can save and ruin things.
We had Iron Fist where we're going to show this guy's face no matter how shitty he is.
They literally, they're like, why doesn't Iron Fist have a mask? And Marvel executives straight up were like, we didn't cast Finn Jones to put a mask on his face. That was their reasoning.
It's one of the reasons I'm super not excited for Doom. Because I'm like, why would you put in, you're seeing his face. Like, that's the whole thing with Doom. When you ever see glimpses of his face, it's ruined. It's ravaged. It's not, oh, he looks like Iron Man. All right.
So I guess that brings up a good question, guys. Obviously, we've all seen the original Judge Dredd. Is there anything about Judge Dredd that you like better than Dredd?
I'll be honest. I mean, I didn't, after I saw the original Judge Dredd back in the day in the theaters, I just haven't seen it since, haven't cared to see it since. And having just seen the new Dredd, I couldn't even give you an honest comparison other than I liked this one and I didn't like that one, you know?
I will say Max von Sydow as fucking Chief Justice was awesome.
And I did like that they went outside of Mega City 1.
That was cool. Like, I will say that the fact that they went outside, the fact that they had the old school Chief Justice that he popped up, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's things in that I liked about that first one, but I can't say, other than those few setting things, that there's anything in the original Judge Dredd that was better than this. This was...
No, it was pretty bad.
A much more enjoyable experience.
It was really bad. It was like half a fucking Muppet set.
Yeah, with a giant, like, robot guy.
Yeah. I mean, it looked kind of like they literally just went and were like, hey, you know what? I know they just got done filming fucking Goonies, but we're going to use this anyway.
Well, the one thing I was thinking about, too, is that in the original Judge Dredd movie, like the eagles on their shoulders are just massive, right? And now in the comic, he does have a gold chain that goes, you know, that connects up to his badge. And yeah, and they didn't do that in this one. But I do like Carl's look of it looks, he just looks like a riot cop. Right. Mm-hmm. Body armor. There is an eagle on his shoulder, but it's muted. Like, it's just there for style.
In the Stallone movie, they had like football pads on.
Yeah.
And then the rest of their outfit was just like, no, a bodysuit.
Well, it was left over from, you know, Demolition Man.
It still fit into it.
Paul, you know the comic better than me, but was there some commentary from fans about Dredd, the second one, that it was too serious compared to the, like, not as tongue-in-cheek as the comic?
From what I heard is at least every, because again, it was based off the 2008, so it was based off a set of series. So like you've got people who are like Dredd and then don't know what it's actually taken off of. And then they'll go to like the first 20 Dredd comics and, you know what I mean? I've been like, this isn't anything like Dredd. It is. It's just not off of that Dredd. You know, it's like the Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, and whatever. There's different, and they're all canon. They're all real.
Oh, the only reason I asked is because I told people that when I was watching this, and some of my comic friends were like, oh yeah, but it was not, it was, I wish it would have been more like the comics. That was kind of like their thing. Like they were like, it was a good movie for what it was, but yeah.
I thought it was very much like the 2000 AD comics. And I think it was so much like the 2000 AD comics that they were able to continue on with the comics as the movie being canon, which is not done very often. And I believe that was one of the first times it was done, was they were literally taking movie to comic, and then they were like, fuck it, we're going with it. We're going to run with the movie, and we're going to continue on with the comic series that the movie based on and expand the lore and bring it all together.
Yeah, because there's a prequel comic that came out and several sequel ones that came out from this.
Yes, movie. And then there's two Anderson standalones.
It depends how you want to look at the comic. From what I understand, you could either love this guy because he's about law and order and an anarchist society, or he's, you know, partially fascist. There's so many ways to look at the Judge Dredd character himself. And the comics themselves, like the art style is very, it's very punk, the only way I can think of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it all depends. Like if you want to take Dredd and make it about something else, then yes, you can do that. But if you don't go that far with it, then, you know, why? Like there's no, like, what's the point of being like, well, if, you know, if he was a Nazi and you were, you know, Dredd would be, it's like, yeah, but he's not. So why the fuck are you thinking about it?
But at the same time, that's why it's such a good story, because it's engaging and people can really dive into what does it mean this or does it mean that? You know, I mean, it brings you into the story. You know, it's not like that cut and dry.
But but Judge is also the perfect version of a lovable and hateable character, because he's all about the law.
He's black and white.
Black and white. What does the law say? I don't have emotion. I don't give a fuck. Like Like RoboCop wasn't even as unemotional as fucking Judge Dredd.
Yeah, that's all he cares about is not what's right or wrong, but what does the law say?
That's it.
Well, but that is right or wrong, right? The law determines what is right or wrong.
Well, but in his mind, but more there's no moral ambiguity to him. It's right or it's what the law says, the letter of the law.
Well, it's like that guy who was, you jokingly said, got cut in half by the door outside the mega building. Is that? He's like, you can't be here, doing this, but I've got this other thing I'm working on, so you better not be there when I get back. And when he comes back, he is still there. He's like, okay, come with us. You're getting arrested. Then the door cuts him in half.
He goes, I told you to move along, or whatever. It was something like that. I told you you're not supposed to be here.
Now, this movie was, obviously, there was no sequel made of it. There's been talks of a sequel, but there was actually more talks around the idea of turning this into a television show, where it would follow other judges, and Carl would show up as like a cameo every now and again.
Interesting.
Do you want to see that TV show? It'd be called Mega City One, by the way.
I think it would be great, but they have to remember what made this one great and capture those same elements. So I would say that the setting where they shot it, all of those things are like, they need to go back to South Africa. They need to shoot that same place. They need to use that same, all of those things I thought really, really helped this movie.
Yeah, I mean, looking forward to a TV show, or if they, it's always going to be if they do it right, you know, if they do it right. Because I remember, I'm not a big comic guy, but I did read DMZ, like through most of the run of that. And then I remember when HBO came out with the DMZ show, and it was complete dog shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I was so excited for it. I was like, oh, they're finally doing it. And it's like HBO, and it's they do good stuff. And it was just terrible. It was terrible.
I had the same experience.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I heard that they were going to make an animated sequel to Dredd, and that was like almost about to happen, and then it just didn't. And I would have been happy with that, because they were going to use all the same people who were supposed to do all the voices.
Well, that would have been cool.
So like, yeah, Aunt Carl was going to come back. The woman who played Anderson, sorry, I forgot her name.
Olivia Thirlby. Yeah. So yeah, I'd love to see it if they do it right, you know?
Yeah. I think now with the current streaming setup, the way that they've done a lot of other good shows that could really, you know, work this way. Yes. If you would have asked me this question though, all I could thinking about whenever you hear about like, oh, we're going to do a comic TV series, it's like the CW stuff. You're like, oh no, they don't need to do this. We're good. But if they do it, you know, in the same way you've got The Boys and all these other shows that take the format and make it work on a series, they could make this really interesting. But you got to put, they do have to put a budget into it though. If yes. they try to do this really cheap, it's going to look like Freddy's Nightmares, and that's not good. You don't want that.
I have, with the passing of Rob Reiner, which is ridiculous, like I can't believe that. But one sequel that obviously you could never make would be The Princess Bride, right? Like that they would never want to see a remake of. But hear me out. What about a series about the Dread Pirate Roberts? And each series is when he passes the torch to the new Dread Pirate Roberts to start the new season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it all depends on how you do it. It's like, right? It's like we were just...
That I would, I'm like, that would be cool.
It's like we were just talking about on our show with Best of the Best. Mm-hmm. You know, how cool would it be to do a prequel of Best of the Best with like the history of Kuzo, how he became the U.S. team coach, you know? And then you could do it like a series like that, that brings you back up to the movie. I mean, there's so many ways you could do it well, or you're just going to cash in on the Dread name.
And even more ways to do it wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very true.
It sounds like we all love this movie, but this movie bombed at the theaters. It did not do very well. Did not make them its money back, not even close.
Only made like $11 million or something.
Opening weekend, I think at the end, globally, it was like $41 million out of the $50 million budget. At the end of the day, though, like, what do you think they could have done better to make this movie do better in theaters or just make it a better movie?
Good question. I mean, you have to look at the marketing and stuff back then. I don't know how they approached it at all. I mean, sometimes it's just timing. Sometimes it is legit just timing.
Again, I would have to see what it opened up with. What it opened up against. But again, you know, I think a lot of it was people thought it was a remake of Stallone's movie.
I totally agree. When I remember seeing the previews for this, all I thought of is, why would you want to watch that? The first one was terrible. I don't want to see this again. And it doesn't even have Stallone. Not like you want Stallone in it, because the first one wasn't good, but it was kind of like, see, even this is like a direct-to-video thing they're just putting in theaters. I'm good. I can skip on it. Not knowing
That's
how great
exactly
it is.
Exactly what it came off as. It came off as like, is this a sequel to Judge? Like, no one really knew what it was, and everyone was kind of scared to go see it because the first one was such a piece of shit, and they didn't do enough to disassociate itself from it. How do you do that, actually?
And it was 3D, and the 3D movies just generally didn't do well. Like, the tech really wasn't there, you know?
Yeah, for me, I think the biggest thing was, one, I don't think they marketed it properly, but also the 3D thing. I'm not a big 3D movie guy. My kids love it. They went to go see the new Avatar movie, but beyond that, I always felt it was a gimmick, especially that year as a gimmick.
I bet you their budget would have been a lot smaller if they didn't go 3D.
Or they could have used it for other things instead of the 3D waste.
Mm-hmm.
Could have paid for Rob Schneider to come.
So do you guys want to see a remake of this or have them do a sequel?
No, this needs to be a continuation, a universe continuation. I don't know if it has to be a direct sequel. I don't even know if it needs to have Carl Urban in it. But there needs to be a continuation of this fucking universe, for sure.
You could totally, I could see an Anderson spinoff for sure. Like an Anderson, like you even said, there's Anderson specific comics, you know, so I could totally see an Anderson spinoff.
You know, when this movie came out, you know, like Carl Urban's hot right now. You could still do it. He's still young. He's still fucking, you know, he's still big. He's still
great.
He's
bigger now. I think he's a bigger name in this
huge
sphere.
Now.
You know, I think it's even more of a reason because I think you'll kind of double down. You'll double down on the people who want more of that sweet sauce. And then you're going to double down on all of the people who just are in the Carl Urban fucking fad right now. Like if Mortal Kombat fucking hits huge, I think we're going to see Dread soon. I think it's going to happen.
Well, they are remaking this movie. They're rebooting the whole franchise. And it's going to be, the writer and director is, I always get his name messed up. It's the guy who did a Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, but they could, in my opinion, they could still remake Dread and still make another one of these. But that's what we were talking about before. Not everything has to be Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man. All those four Spider-Man comics were all out at the same time. Nobody bitched and moaned.
Yeah.
The average viewer doesn't think that way.
You said Taika Waititi is doing it?
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, that's right. Yeah. But, I didn't realize it was a complete reboot.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting because I don't see him doing a movie like The Dread that we know.
Dude, after he's, a guy who says, I never fucking read a Thor comic, I don't want to see you make a fucking Dread movie unless you've read a fucking Dread comic.
That should be a prereq.
Yeah, I mean, not to say he can't do it.
You can't make Dread a woke movie, okay, unless Dread kills everybody. Well, you can't do it.
Woke and or I not,
love
Taika, I mean...
I love Taika, but his movies are very fucking sensitive.
Well, and the other thing is that his genre is really like sort of the you know, the What We Do in the Shadows, the Black Sails,
It's very woke. I love, first of all, What We Do in the Shadows is one of my favorites, but it's very inclusive. It's very friendly. Everybody loves everybody. You know, no one, Dread World is not fucking like that.
It's
like,
the opposite of that.
If he does this, mm-hmm. he's got to fucking do it right and surprise us all.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like he's incapable, but it's not who I would think of as someone to direct.
Yeah, this. It's a weird fit.
But Taika can't, but he can't take Dread and make it a Taika movie because he'll fucking ruin it.
There'd be way too many jokes.
I mean, he's behind the spinoff series Young Frankenstein, which totally makes sense because that's like in his wheelhouse. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But Dread, a Dread thing? I don't know. I don't see it.
It's Sofia Coppola directing fucking Scarface remake. That shit doesn't make sense.
For our audience, for people who have went through the whole episode with us so far, that they've never seen the movie Dread, should they go out and see it?
Yes.
But yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'm sorry I waited as long as I did.
Not Judge Dread.
No, yeah, just Dread. Dread by itself.
Well, actually, it's funny that both movies are the same length. So you could actually put both on two different screens and watch them at the same amount of time.
But you wouldn't. You wouldn't watch that other one at all. It would be on the other room. You wouldn't have it on. You'd be watching this one because this one never slows down.
It'd just be sticking a pencil in one eye.
It really doesn't slow down. There's very few moments of pause in this movie.
Yeah. I had to go to the bathroom and normally I would just let it run. I'm just going to go pee and come back. But I actually came back and rewound it because I was like, I've missed something because they're in a whole different place in 2 minutes.
Do you guys have any other final thoughts about this movie before we close out for the night?
I don't know. No, it's good. Definitely go see it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely or go rent it. Or watch it.
And you don't need, like some of these, you either need to do some research or, you know, try to figure out where they're coming out with the characters or there's this long introduction where you just use them. You don't need any of that. And this works really well, even if you don't know the character at all.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's just a good, fun action movie, but it's not a jokey action movie. There are jokes in it, but it's a serious action movie, but it's good.
Well, the thing is they're also great because in an 85 minute movie, you still have all the questions that everybody leaves the comic are reading, which is what the fuck is this guy's motivation? What's his pet? Nobody knows any of that shit.
You don't need it. That's one thing I always like about this movie is the fact that you can go into it knowing nothing. There's no exposition. There's no big exposition dumps or anything like that. And it's just, he is a force of nature. And that's all you got to know.
Like mm-hmm. from my knowledge, Dredd was always just a cop. He started as a cop. He had the comics. He was a cop. There was no traumatic backstory. There's no fucking whatever. He never had a family. Dredd was just a cop.
Except the Judge Dredd movie where he was like a clone or something of all the other judges and he had like seven dads or something. I don't know.
I think you're thinking of Serpentor, but it all works the same.
it sounds like a new Taika movie.
So guys, how would you rate this movie?
All right. I'll give it 4 out of 5 incendiary rounds. And the reason I give it 4 is because I still am not a fan of the slow-mo. And who knows, like we said, maybe it would have been better in 3D, but we could have shaved 10 minutes off of this movie.
I'll go out of 10 and I'll go 8.5 hot shots.
And I'm just going to go back to my simple thumbs up, thumbs down, but I have an invisible thumbs up because it was attached to the gun that I used improperly first. So my whole arm is gone and I gave it a thumbs up with that.
Yeah, this is a solid thumbs up for me. I mean, it's a great movie. I've seen it more than enough times. And if you have not seen, I don't know why you haven't seen it. You don't need to see the 3D version.
I think we determined if you haven't seen it, it's because you saw Judge Dredd. That's the only reason you wouldn't have seen this. So get over that and see this.
Mm-hmm.
You move past your trauma of Judge Dredd and let's go see this one.
Yeah, it's actually, if you did see Judge Dredd, this could be very therapeutic for you.
It might actually even be better. So guys, thanks for joining us tonight. So Steve, Paul, where can people find you and what are you guys working on?
Oh man, you can find me, my personal Instagram or pretty much everywhere out there on the internet is Sambo Steve. And then our podcast is Film Fights with Friends and we're everywhere on audio and YouTube and you can find us at Film Fights Friends Pod.
Yeah, you guys can find me. I'm a Krav Maga chef on Instagram. Again, Film Fight Friends Pod with Steve and also limited edition collectibles. I do have my own little collectible company if you guys want to check me out there and see what I got. I got all kinds of cool stuff.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, guys. And we'll have all links in the show notes for everybody, too.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Jeremy, where can people find you?
You can always find me here every 2 weeks talking movies with you, but also on the other weeks at the Retrovaniacs podcast, where I talk about old video games.
And for me, you can always find me over at All Panel Creations. We're always over there building some piece of nerdy furniture. I want to thank you, our listeners, for spending some time with us today. If you have any incendiary rounds for us, just send us a note over at movie-smash.com, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. This has been Movie Smash with Chris Roberts, Jeremy Parmentier, and Fergal Amayo. Produced by me, Chris Roberts. Executive produced by Off Panel Creations, LLC. Movie clips provided by the respective studios. You can rate and review the show at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You might even find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for us? Visit us at movie-smash.com and send us a note. It too can be read on a future episode. If you haven't already, please subscribe to Movie Smash wherever you listen to your podcasts.
What's that word? Fucking fapping?